Sports Talk continues. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams. And Jimmy, once again, we head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline for a very special guest.
We do. We're joined by Jerry Brewer. He is with the Washington Post, and he covers the Washington Redskins in the NFL. Jerry, how are you?
I'm wonderful. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us. Really appreciate it. First, I wanted to get your take on the contract for Patrick Mahomes. How surprised were you at the enormity of that deal?
Yeah, that was the big surprise, the enormity of it. I didn't know that they would get to 10 years. I didn't know that Patrick Mahomes would want to lock himself into a contract for 10 years. But you look at it, and why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't they want to have him for as long as they can, and why wouldn't he want to commit to them, considering the chemistry and the success that he's had with Andy Reid, just how revolutionary that offense seems to be, all the weapons that are around. We'll see moving forward with that kind of a commitment how they can build out the rest of their roster and still be under the cap. But I got a feeling that that contract is going to age pretty well, and there's a reason why a year ahead of schedule, really, the Chiefs were willing to jump at this opportunity to lock this young man up.
So Dak Prescott wanted only a 4-year deal. Dallas wanted to go 5 years. Why do you suppose Mahomes was willing to go 10? Was it just strictly the money? Or do you think, hey, I realize I got a great situation here with Kansas City, with Andy Reid, I'm going to jump on this?
I think it was understanding that he's got a great situation that would be almost impossible to duplicate anywhere else. You also have to remember he comes from a baseball background, baseball is the land of when you finally get to be a free agent. And obviously, it's a different financial structure, and it takes 6 years for you to earn your free agency in baseball, but there's that tradition of, you know, you sign the biggest contract for as many years as you can and you take the security. So even though the NFL is different, he still comes from a family mentality of go ahead and get that security. If it's a situation that you feel comfortable with, why not go ahead and commit to it? And I think that's kind of how he thinks about things. And we'll see. You know, I mean, I don't see him getting to the end of the contract, because I think there could be a situation where it behooves the Chiefs to renegotiate that deal, refinance it, so to speak, because there are ways that you can dance around the salary cap and refinancing the deal. But certainly, if they were to do that and he were to continue to play at the level that he has played at these past 2 years, that's only going to put more money in his pocket. So I think that as long as Patrick Mahomes can stay healthy, he's going to make a whole lot of money, whether he gets the entirety of this contract or whether it's folded into something new.
Jerry, really appreciate your time, and thank you so much for joining us. I had the same thought as you, and that is this seems like a baseball contract for a football player in terms of the length. Is there anybody else in the NFL right now that you could see a team attempting to lock up for this length of service, or is it the kind of a generational type like we've seen so far from Patrick Mahomes?
I think this is a once-in-a-generation, and in this case, a once-in-a-lifetime type situation, because we've never seen anyone come in the NFL. He's 24 years old, and he's the only guy this young to have won the MVP of the league and to win the Super Bowl and be the Super Bowl MVP. He's different. He comes in, and he was considered raw enough, or they just wanted to take their time with him. So he sits most of his rookie year while Alex Smith has a great year. They move on from Alex Smith, make a good trade to make themselves better. He comes in, and just right off the bat, it's 5,000 yards, it's 50 touchdowns. We can only really the only comparison would be Dan Marino in the space age year that he had in 1984, which in a lot of ways was even more impressive in terms of productivity over what was going on in the league. Now, however, what's different, while Marino gets to the game and can't win it, Patrick Mahomes, the next year, he was set on the same pace. He got hurt with the kneecap issue and missed three games, but he was on the same pace that he was the year before, virtually. And he comes, and what does he do? He leads them to the Super Bowl, and they become the first team in NFL history to rally from double-digit deficits in three games en route to winning the championship. And we'll always remember the pass to Tyreek Hill that really turned that game around when it seemed like they were toast, that the 49ers had them. And that kind of showed you, oh, this guy just isn't this prolific passer and just this stat king. He's got some real grit behind him as well. And now he's a champion. And all of a sudden, everything just lines up perfectly. He's 1 year from it being time for you to negotiate a salary anyway, and he's still just 24 years old. One thing that's consistent about the NFL is that if you have a guy who's young and they become available either in free agency or if it's time to lock them up, if you have a young guy who's been that productive, they go to extreme lengths to lock players like that up, because that is the gold in the NFL, that you've got someone who doesn't have a lot of mileage on him, yet he has shown you that he can produce at a superstar level. That's when teams kind of throw all caution to the wind. And I just don't know if anyone can accomplish to the level of what Patrick Mahomes has been able to do in 2 years for someone to say, okay, you're young and we're willing to go 10 years on you. It would have to be a quarterback. You couldn't really do that for any other position, maybe a wide receiver, but then you're worried about, him losing a step and over the course of that contract. So I'm not sure this will be duplicated. It'll be interesting to see what Dak Prescott and his negotiation gets, what Deshaun Watson would get as well. But it's not going to come anywhere near Patrick Mahomes, because Mahomes has the youth on his side, and now he's got the hardware and the credibility of being a champion.
Covering the league as you do, and to see the numbers, the gigantic numbers that are connected with this deal, and again, with Mahomes and the Chiefs, it makes sense on both sides. But do you see this potentially creating more headaches for other GMs with other teams who have quarterbacks that are up for contracts, as you've already talked about with Deshaun Watson or Dak Prescott? Or do you think this might be more difficulty for Kansas City when teammates are waiting for perhaps that big extension with Kansas City, but also knowing before they go in that with a hard cap in the NFL, there may not be as much, we'll just say, room for everybody to get that big wheelbarrow full of cash?
Right, there's only so much pie that you can slice up. Yeah, it's going to be an issue for the Chiefs moving forward, and it'll be fairly immediate. You know, the next order of business for them is Chris Jones, their tremendous defensive tackle, who is likely to command more than $20 million a year in terms of average salary. How do you get that done, on a team that already has Frank Clark and now Patrick Mahomes being highly paid? You've got Travis Kelce, who is already making a lot and stands to get a raise the next time he is up. And you committed to Tyreek Hill, and there's some other stuff in there as well. There's only so much money to go around. Mahomes believes that this contract has been structured in a way that could help the organization. When you really look at the first 3 years of that deal, if you want to do the mathematical gymnastics that are done in the NFL, you could say the first 3 years of that deal are comparable to the first 3 years of Russell Wilson's new deal, which had reset the market before. So it's not exactly like, oh, his cap number is going to be $47.7 million, because that's what his average salary is. His cap, the new money is going to be in line with kind of Russell Wilson in a sense. And so that helps you kind of keep your cap number manageable. But, yeah, it's a complicating thing. And then it's complicating for other stars that Dak or Deshaun Watson necessarily, but Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson, who is an MVP in his first full year as a starter, his second year in the league, who will have an excellent opportunity to win a Super Bowl. I mean, they were the best team in the NFL last year going into the playoffs and then just, you know, laid an egg against the Titans. So, and the Titans were, you know, far better than anyone ever really realized, and very much a team that was built for the playoffs. So there's a chance that Lamar, who would only be, you know, what, 1 year older than Mahomes, could go to the table saying, I want a deal that's bigger than that. But I think a lot of people are going to say, look, man, that deal is an outlier. You really can't compare yourself perfectly to this guy because it's a totally different situation. And your passing stats are going to be dramatically different than his. So I think that becomes the complication. Like, you know, how you want more than what Russell Wilson to kind of reset the market, but we're not going to see a $50 million a year, a $52 million a year quarterback in the NFL anytime soon. So where does the next guy lie? Probably somewhere in between Patrick Mahomes' new deal and what Russell Wilson got, but how much closer to Patrick Mahomes is a new deal for a young elite quarterback going to get? That is a huge question in the NFL moving forward, one that will be answered over the next two off-seasons.
Our guest, Jerry Brewer, Washington Post. Jerry, obviously it looks like the Redskins are going to change their nickname. And first off, do you think that they will be able to get that done before this season? And secondly, why do you think it's taken that long to have this strong of a push?
Well, it's the climate that we're in now. I mean, it's you know, there's so much social unrest on a lot of levels, you know, things that are adjacent to the Black Lives Matter movement. And I think there's a national reckoning going on and saying that we just don't want to look at things and say, let's keep it that way because it's always been that way. And I think as people started looking at monuments and statues and other things that are tied into our belief system that are problematic, it was inevitable that it was going to wander into the sports world and these nicknames, and Washington Redskins is at the top of the list. So, I mean, I think that's why you're seeing, and it's not any longer just the controversy of it. It is political leaders saying, look, you're not going to get a new stadium built if you keep this name. It is corporate sponsor saying, we're not going to be associated with you anymore with this name. And it is the NFL saying, look, we have made this vow. Roger Goodell sent out a video essentially saying that he was going to do better, connected to Black Lives Matter, but this is adjacent to it. So he's saying, I'm taking the league down a social justice route, and I have the support of enough owners to do this. So that's why there's so much pressure on them now, that they've never had this much heat on them saying, you got to change it, you got to change it. It was more, an opinion of a minority that you could kind of drown out. I'm not sure that they're going to be able to play under a new name with a new logo and all those things by the start of the 2020 season, whenever it starts. Hopefully it's September, but I'm pretty doubtful of that right now. I think that the season in the NFL will be delayed somewhat. But even, you know, just looking at the time, that's a tremendous time crunch to get it right and to roll it out properly. I think they will have an announcement before the start of the season, but there's a chance that they could play one final season under the old name.
Why are the three minority owners that have, I think, 40% of the club, why do they want out now? Is there something new that's come up, or do you think this has been brewing?
I think it's an accumulation. It has been brewing. It's more than just the name. It's the fact that the owner is rather obstinate. They don't feel like their voice is being heard. There's plenty of things that the franchise has done that has embarrassed them over the past 20 years of Daniel Snyder's ownership. And that takes the fun out of being an owner. You don't want to be connected to the most dysfunctional franchise in the NFL, along with the New York Jets, one of the most dysfunctional franchises in all of sports, along with the New York Knicks and a few others. You just don't want to be associated with that. And they together, those three minority investors own a little less than 40% of the franchise, their voices are not heard. So they're looking at it and they're saying, you know, the value of this franchise is $3.4 billion. You know, for us, that's, you know, over $1 billion, you know, somewhere approaching a billion and a half. Let's go ahead and let's cash out if we can, especially during a time in which it's not as lucrative over the next few years to be an owner of a professional sports franchise as it normally is. You're not exactly printing money like you used to, because there's going to be some kind of effect from the pandemic. So if you cash out now, maybe that's a wise decision in terms of just kind of protecting your investment, and then also just being able to get a source of frustration off of you. And I think that's the motivation that's coming from the three minority owners, led by Frederick Smith, who is the CEO of FedEx.
Well, Jerry, we appreciate it. Hey, thank you so much for taking the time to visit with us on short notice, and may have a chance to visit with you again, but we do certainly thank you for your time.
Anytime. I appreciate you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jerry Brewer with The Washington Post.